This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
You have the hot plate on today? We need the hot plate on today.
Yes, because you're saying because it's getting a bit brisk?
No, because the mayor's here today.
The mayor is here.
Big things happened last night at the city council.
Big things. Hey, welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and I'm here with Dave Bourne in the studios. Joining us this fine Tuesday day is Mayor Chuck Bennett of the city of Salem. We chat about a lot of things, especially the ordinance. You had a meeting last night. We're going to talk about that coming up.
Okay.
Which is meaningful. I've been thinking about downtown. Actually, I'm getting tired of talking about the homeless. I mean, I wonder if the listener is getting tired of us talking about it.
Yeah.
But it is such an issue, and it does really impact us so much, not just in how much we enjoy and are able to enjoy our downtown, and how much worry really be able to brag about the conditions downtown, and you know, and do business downtown, and so forth. But before we get to that,
okay.
Small Business Saturday. You had a proclamation, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
And the mayor and the council voted a proclamation having to do with Small Business Saturday.
Right.
So what does that mean?
Well, it means that we, along with a whole batch of other communities nationally, recognize the Saturday after Thanksgiving as Small Business Saturday, encouraging people to support small businesses in their community, do their shopping, understand there's Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all these other, well, the real heart of a community, the really important part of its economic viability is its small businesses. It provides most of the employment. It is a kind of traded sector. As you, I think, even explained yesterday, I think I heard you talking yesterday, you did a great explanation of traded sector, but essentially it brings new money into the community and circulates it inside the community. And Salem has a very, very vital small business sector. And this is a chance for the public to, for us, I guess, at City Hall, to remind the public, if you're going to go shopping, please go shopping at these small businesses. These are your neighbors. These are your family and your friends who are committed to this community. We won't see any of them just pulling up stakes and walking away if they can at all help with it. And our hope is by doing the proclamation, we help advertise their businesses and encourage people to support them so they'll be here next year and the year after and the year after.
Good stuff. It's also something, obviously, a local entity like the Chamber of Commerce would promote. They're always promoting shop local.
Right.
So let's think of a couple of examples. So you could buy some art, right? Well, the Affordable Framing. Yeah. They're in East Salem and South Salem, and Affordable Framing has great stuff. I've framed so many. Practically everything in my house has been framed by them. But they sell art there, and they're locally owned. Right here in the community, even an extended family right here in the community. Elsinore, framing and gallery. You can buy local art there. The money stays in our community and so forth. You know, when you get into something like electronics, it's hard not to buy at a video only or a Best Buy, you know. But the thing about a Best Buy, for just an example, some of that money obviously is going to go to shareholders and it's going to leave the community. But you know, the Kelly's Home Furnishings is local company. You might be able to get the exact same product from a local company. I'm not here to bash anybody. I appreciate everybody who has thrown up a storefront is doing business in Salem and is employing my neighbors. Right,
absolutely,
Chuck?
Yeah. And we have days that really do celebrate those businesses in Black Friday and Cyber Monday. This is really suggesting a day dedicated to that boutique store, that place where you can go in and get that kind of personal service you find only at a small business. So not to take away from any other business, but this is a chance to genuinely support these local businesses in the community. And I think it's real important that we be participants in that as consumers.
Mayor Chuck Bennett is with us. So Chuck, you know, obviously you want people to, the economy to be good, because you're probably going to run on the economy for your reelection like President Trump, right? So economy's good, just keep me here.
Well, if that is the only test, Brent, I'm in really good shape. The economy here is in extremely good shape. We're at I think the lowest unemployment, in at least recent memory, if not in history. And now, whether you give me credit or Donald Trump credit or just the people who actually build the businesses and do the hiring the credit, which I tend to think is the better way to approach it than look at some politician as having an impact. But our economy is in very good shape here.
Mayor, have you had any comments coming from citizens having to do with the NORPAC closing? Or heard from NORPAC specifically about their plans?
I received a letter from NORPAC telling the city and meeting certain statutory requirements that they tell the city in advance of their plans in terms of closure. This is really a long legacy business. This has employed. It employs hundreds of people in the larger community, including Salem, Staten, up toward Woodburn, and others. I mean, this is and it's also been the outlet for and processor for an enormous amount of the locally grown agricultural products. So this is a big deal for us, and we'll be watching very closely how this evolves. I think we're in the midst of an evolution as to where this is going to be.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because I actually misspoke and said something that I've been trying to correct others and say, yes, they've announced the layoffs, but aren't they still actively looking for a buyer that might maintain at least a similar operation and the employment base? I'm saying they're closing. They are, in bankruptcy and this and that. But do you get any sense that there might be a transaction that would keep the plants operating for a while, maybe under new ownership?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is constant review and discussion. I think with all kinds of potential buyers, and particularly, remember, this is a farmer's co-op. This is an important part of the entire agricultural economy. I mean, it's an essential part of it, It has substantial assets in the area, some of them newer, some of them older. We have seen other plants close. I mean, I frankly, from my youth, I still can't believe Del Monte is gone. And I'm sure there's a lot of people going, who? Del Monte, what? Well, that was a very, very big operation here, and it is gone. Oregon Fruit has shrunk. They're still here, though. They're still doing business and doing really quite well. So there's a lot to be said for the way this can evolve. And I think that's where we really have to see it right now. What's concerning are the 900 employees affected by this and whether or not they actually will get that last paycheck and never see it again. This has been a traditional employer in this community, and it's real concerning. We have new employers coming in like Amazon and some of the other larger organizations that will, I'm sure, pick up a chunk of it. But this is disturbing.
Well, yeah, let's look at a little bit of history, and then we'll take a quick break. But the Truitt facility no longer does their canning line, right? There's still a presence in West Salem, but that canning line along the east bank of the Willamette is gone. As you mentioned, there was also Chiquita.
Yeah,
you said Del Monte, and we had a plant for Seneca, and Pick Sweet for mushrooms. The one in the West Salem, Chiquita is now basically where the Goodwill is.
Yeah.
So that's gone. And what an odd trend for a region that's producing all of these food products to have these food processors not want to be centralized and right here and not making it work. All right, we're going to have to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with Mayor Chuck Bennett. We'll finish up talking about that and explain to you what happened with this ordinance on the sidewalks of our downtown. Stick with us. This is Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, folks. We are talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett here. We started by talking about Small Business Saturday, so I want to encourage everybody to continue that trend and find a local business to do business with here in the Marion and Polk County area. On Saturday, you can't buy everything from Amazon, folks.
No.
My mother, in her 80s, she was so funny. My mother would say, all those people, they're buying everything online. I guess they just don't want to have any stores in their community.
Yeah, right.
It's really funny. She's just like, you know, sometimes it's really convenient and we do it. We all do it. But we all have to make sure that our economy and our people who invested in our region get to stay in business and thrive. All right. Hey, Mayor, we're talking before the break, about the new ordinance and what happened last night. We've been calling it a sit lie, but it got mended last night. So just give us a breakdown as terms in what form is this ordinance moving forward?
Okay. Well, first, it was misnamed a sit lie. Mm-hmm. It was really what it really did was encompass sort of sidewalk behavior and was really dealing with a range of behaviors on public sidewalks. Mm-hmm. It was particularly focused on the downtown, on the sit lie portion of it, which is whether you can sit or lie and sleep or block sidewalks. I mean, the whole shebang. That was very controversial with a certain element of the community in two ways. One, very strongly supported by a large number of folks in the community, and very strongly opposed by another segment in the community. So it was a divisive issue. The council despite early on saying we'd like to readdress this, backed away from it. I think, this is just me, ignored the very strong advice of our chief of police and request that this tool be made available to him, mainly to deal with really a fairly small group of homeless folks who are dealing, who have some real behavioral issues or are just sort of service resistant, housing resistant, all that.
All right, let's talk about the ordinance specifically. Okay. What did you pass?
So that was removed. Okay. That came out of the ordinance. What was left in the ordinance is a camping and possessions portion that says you cannot camp on our public streets. And all you have to do, I think, is drive down Commercial and go by Commercial and Union. You'll see a camp on the sidewalk of about 60 people.
Wow. I think there's more tents there than there are in the campground east of town.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that will become illegal under this ordinance. You can't do that. And what it'll say is with 24 hours notice, you've got to remove any kind of structure. Now, that can be a cardboard box, that can be a tent, that can be tarps, but you can't put those in our public right of way. And you cannot leave your possessions just laying around. So people who bring in shopping carts or other things and just leave them parked on the streets anywhere in town are really taking a chance that they'll be confiscated. They'll be held by the city, but about 2 hours, and the city's going to say, we are going to pull those in and get them off the street.
Are those city workers that are going to pick that up, or the police going to pick
probably,
it up?
Probably the police.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, how that will be done, I think, will be worked out by the police department. But That is one of the things that has been kind of clogging the sidewalks in town. But the big one really is this camping. That means you can't come into your neighborhood, which under current law you could essentially come in and set up your tent right in front of somebody's house on the, you know, the kind of streets or tree strip on a lot of our streets. We have boulevards. Those were ripe for camping, and that's what's been happening. So that will be stopped. But that problem downtown of people sitting, lying, sprawling on the public sidewalks will continue. A majority of the council, in a 5-4 vote, voted to get that out of the ordinance.
Hmm. So, Mayor, what about the exclusion area where there
that was taken out as well?
That was taken out. So that's an enforcement tool by which the police can say, if you're violating this new ordinance, we can exclude you from this area for a period of time. And we have two of those in the city, some exclusion areas. One is in North Salem that we put into place in the 2000s, having to do with a lot of concentration of prostitution and things like that. And now in downtown. Mm-hmm. But now the police are not going to have the ability to say, hey, you're doing antisocial behavior and it's downtown. It's a fact. You need to not be in this area.
To some extent, there continues to be everything that could result in exclusion order today will continue. What cannot become part of cannot result in an exclusion order is if you're sitting or lying on the public sidewalk. If there are still a whole range of behaviors. You covered a couple of them, but there's a range of behaviors and activities that can result in being excluded from downtown, and that stays the same.
So you said the removal of the sit lie aspect was a 5-4 vote.
Yeah,
but ultimately, after the amendment, the ordinance went forward on an 8-1 vote.
Well, yeah, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, and you know the problem. I mean, it's we also had a full vote on the original ordinance that was proposed by the staff, and that went down on a 6-3 vote. Jim Lewis tried to have that voted on in total. Which had all the pieces in place, and that failed 6-3.
Okay.
Myself, Lewis, and Nanke support it.
So as far as process, obviously you're moving this ordinance forward. In case you guys are not public policy geeks, there'll be a second time, a second reading, as it were,
we'll vote
in December.
About 2 weeks, yeah.
In a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then when's the law take effect?
It has an emergency clause, so it'll go into effect almost immediately. It will become enforceable, and the tents come down. The tents and the big boxes and the tarps and the rest of it blocking sidewalks will come down.
You know, Mayor, we were criticizing the legislature this year for passing everything with emergency clause that was not an emergency, but I want to applaud you for having an emergency clause on this ordinance. It is an emergency. And I think the retailers would agree in the heart of the holiday season, as much as they can, they want foot traffic and they want people to feel as though they can come downtown.
Well, the other, I think one of the other things I just want to mention, I get a lot of email about this on both sides of the issue, a lot of email. And I think one of the things that concerns me a great deal is that folks often feel threatened by homeless people on the street. I think that's a really wrong reaction. This is a very difficult situation folks have found themselves in. I mean, it's in some cases, it's really life-threatening. I don't think you, in almost every case, I think a reaction of I'm scared of that person while you're walking down the streets of Salem because they're sitting on the sidewalk is probably it is an overreaction. It is unsightly. It is not something we like seeing happen here. I think we will review this again in 6 to 10 months. I think councilors who are opposed to it today have told me they'd like to see again if this much you know, and the camping helps, but revisit it again if need be. But I'd really encourage people not to be too frightened by their neighbors. These are not folks who are out to get them.
Only a couple.
There may be some.
Yeah, there's a couple.
But you know what?
The antisocial ones you mentioned at the beginning of the show.
There's some pretty serious antisocial issues that come into play.
There's a couple of them out there.
Yeah, and they're in other situations as well. I think it's important. I worry that people think somehow the downtown would in any way be unfriendly. What encourages me is clearly that is not the common view, because there is a lot of activity downtown. Business is thriving down there. There's some tremendous restaurants, new restaurants, ones you've been to, tremendous boutiques and businesses. I think that's probably the most important thing about it is folks understand this. This is not Seattle. This is not Portland. This isn't even the mess that's down in Eugene. This is Salem, and it is, really under reasonable control, with or without Sitli. I think we'll have to revisit this anyway. I think it'll have to come up again.
Okay, and I just had this great thought, and we're thankful this week. We're talking about thankfulness in downtown and restaurants. I got to pitch this in because I was downtown the other day, and I was finishing up a meeting, and I contacted a friend that lives downtown, said, "Hey, where are you? Want to get a bite?" Right? And I'm down and said, "Hey, I'm with a friend. You know, let's meet up." And we went down to. And he says, "Hey, why don't you meet us at Bowen Vine?"
Yeah.
So I go down to Bowen Vine. It's packed, and there's no place for three people to sit. And I say, "Hey, Bowen Vine's packed." And this is not a Friday night, mind you, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's take a look at Ritter's. So I walk down the street and walk a couple blocks to Ritter's. Packed. There's no three tops. There's like one table for two. And I ended up not joining them. But I drove out of downtown thinking, how great is this? How great is this that, I had trouble finding a seat in a restaurant after work on Friday. And one last shout out, and I know they're new members of the Chamber of Commerce, so shout out to Masonry Grill, also just opened within the last month. We've already been there once on a night
in
which we
busy.
Went to the theater, and they were busy the first week. So great to see people coming downtown and so forth. One last comment on the future with the ordinance and the homeless and the whole conversation. Is that we need to stop pretending that some people are the bad people in this public policy discussion.
Yeah.
It's completely acceptable to say, I care about the homeless. I want our community to take care of the homeless, and also say, I don't want them loitering in my downtown.
Yeah.
And then too often somebody who's more bleeding heart than you wants to paint you as the bad person. And you know what? I want my down. You said unsightly is a great word. I would say, especially when I think about my wife, you know, I think she would feel uncomfortable, less comfortable if not accompanied, not to be a sexist. But when you're 5'0" and a woman, you feel less comfortable than when you're accompanied. And so unsightly, a little unwelcoming, and maybe a little unsettling. So we care about the homeless. We contribute to places like the Union Gospel Mission and the city and so forth that take care of the homeless, but we don't want them downtown. We don't want to step over waste and garbage and bodies to enjoy our downtown support.
And let me just really clearly say, you come downtown, and that will be the exception, not the rule. You are not going to come down and step over anybody or run into human waste or any of these sort of stories that develop. I think there are anecdotes on both sides, and the one that I worry about the most is that it would somehow discourage anybody from using that wonderful downtown we've got. We have such a beautiful downtown with its historic district that we still have department stores downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to some of these other towns here in Oregon that have just collapsed in their downtown areas and really lost control. We don't have that problem here.
Well, thank you, Mayor, for keying up my next segment.
Okay.
That's exactly what we want to talk about when we come back from the break. We want to thank Mayor Chuck Bennett for his service, and thanks for being here on KYKN. And we'll be right back. I've got a story for you. I'm going to be holding for a couple of weeks, folks.
Oh, boy.
We've got a Brent story coming up, and we're going to talk about buying downtown on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich.
And welcome back, everybody, on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. We want to thank you for joining us. We were talking about Small Business Saturday, and the mayor queued it up just before the break. I also want to encourage everybody to shop in downtown Salem. I talk about it every year, but I'm actually thinking about going out this weekend and braving the crowds and shopping downtown in the mall. The mayor talked about the big box stores. This has always been a frustration on my part because I think it's so great. I don't understand why they don't market it like this. But where else can you walk from Macy's to Kohl's to JCPenney and pass a couple score of shops and independent shops and stay indoors and park for free?
Right?
That's amazing, people. And if you want it.
That'll get you in the holiday spirit.
Yeah, if you want it in your community, go drop some money.
Yeah.
Go drop some money. And you can go out on the street and have a bite to eat, have a hot toddy somewhere.
It's all decorated, too.
You can buy some antiques. You can buy some art. I mean, the downtown is amazing. And if we want the downtown to be amazing, then we need to drop some money there. So I'll be out there. Look for me wandering the stores with my little list and like, oh, what am I going to buy for?
Is it little?
No.
Let me give you a little more. I got a couple of things I could add to it.
Free parking, three major department stores, all staying indoors.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. You got a food court, too, if you want to just grab something because you've walked yourself silly.
I've been amazed at the catwalk system that they have down there.
It's good stuff. I don't know.
I've enjoyed that since I was a kid.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there's some things you want to buy online, but for me, you know, if you're doing clothes and you're doing gifts, it's so nice to touch it and have it. And
yeah.
Anyway, that's my encouragement, and I thank the mayor for bringing that up. Downtown is getting richer and richer all the time in terms of its offerings. All right, I promised a story.
Oh boy.
So this is we're kind of connecting our week of thankfulness with some of the conversations we had on Veterans Day. Dave and I were interviewing some World War II vets and some Vietnam vets and some Korean vets, interviewing some veterans out at the Dallas Retirement Village and hearing stories. And boy, I wanted to join in and just talk to them, but my brain was shouting, shut up, Brent, let them talk.
Yeah, right.
So I wanted to share a perspective. We had a gentleman who was telling us about what it was like when they were patrolling West Germany after the war. And this is pre-Berlin Wall era. And that, you know, Germany, in case you forgot, was split in two from the East Bloc and the Soviets and the Western Allies with the British and the Americans and the French. And it was a problem because, frankly, I think they had a hard time for the Soviet side keeping people that wanted to stay behind the Iron Curtain, and they put up the wall. So I had an opportunity to go through that wall, and it was 1989, and I was traveling. And so many people, it just reminds me how old I am and how many people have no idea what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, the city of Berlin was cut in two by this wall. And this wall was impenetrable, and it was guarded on both sides by the Allies, the Western Allies in West Berlin, and the Soviets on the other side, and the East Berliners. And if you can picture this, this city is smack dab in the middle of East Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to drive there, you had these long fences on both sides with barbed wire and this and that along the Autobahn. You had to drive on this channel of freeway to get to West Berlin, but you're driving through East Germany territory. And then there's this half a city there that was still in Western control. Right?
Wow.
So people described it at the time as, boy, it's really like going back in time. It's a little bit like going from color to black and white. So West Berlin, great city, really vibrant, huge art scene, a lot of youth, a lot of energy, development, business. Really well known, I think, for its more artistic scene and music and arts and so forth. So very, really vibrant. It reminds me kind of the difference of what we see in North and South Korea.
Oh, okay.
As well. And that's in my brain, that's how the movie plays out in terms of what I think of North Korea versus Seoul. And I haven't been to Seoul, but I've been to South Korea. And you talk about a very busy, kinetic, energy filled kind of entity in that country versus what we know of the North. All right. So back in Berlin, there were a few different gates where you could go through and traverse into the East Side. So if you were a Westerner, you could buy a one-day pass, as it were, or a visa to be a tourist and go through the gate. And they were called checkpoints. And there was one man by the Russians and one man by the British and so forth. And the one man by the Americans was Checkpoint Charlie. Famous. You ever heard of that?
Yeah. Huh?
Checkpoint Charlie.
It's famous.
I walked through Checkpoint Charlie. So
wait, can I touch you?
Yeah. And let me just tell you, folks, it was exactly that. It was like going from color to black and white.
Wow.
It was unreal. It was like, I don't know how to express to everyone how impactful it was. I mean, you walk to the other side and suddenly the world is burning coal and the buildings are stained with coal and it's foggy and it's, you know, it's gray. All the cars are the same. I mean, you think about these Cold War era movies, and they always depict that's what it looked like. The cars were the same model, same Russian model, same color, barked around. And, you know, we did a landmark tour. I stopped and actually saw a short theater play and such. I got a little East German money, which I still have, collected that. And now I have money from a couple of different countries that don't even exist anymore. And so I'm walking down the street and I see this thing in the gutter and I'm, oh, what's that? And I'm there with a friend and it's a flag. And I pick it up and a flag had fallen off the building, the facade of the building. It was an East German flag.
Oh,
and
wow.
The flagpole was still up there, but the flag itself had been blown down. It was in the gutter. Wow, that's really cool. And we're looking around. I was like, is anybody? I was younger then, folks, but young and dumb. But I'm thinking, wow, that would be a really cool souvenir.
Sure.
But you absolutely feared. You absolutely feared for what might happen to you beyond the Iron Curtain. You
know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
It's like I ended up picking it up, and I couldn't resist. I folded it up, and I put it in my belt line. I tucked it under my shirt because I was going home with it.
Good for you.
So I smuggled. I'm going back through Checkpoint Charlie, right? And you have to go through the East German side before you go to the American side and show your papers, mm-hmm. right? Your papers, please. And just thinking, what if I get caught? You know, sure, it was in the gutter, but I was still afraid.
Strip
I was
search,
flat
buddy.
Out afraid. But also, we thought I was really pumped because it was really exciting to have an East German flag from East Berlin. And I found it on the street. I really didn't steal it out of a shop or anything. So, but what an experience. And that is connecting us folks with what we're talking about on Monday and thankfulness and that we live in America and we don't worry about the secret police. We might worry about some you know, big brother. We might worry about, you know, competency of the FBI or CIA or the president or whatever it is. But it's nothing like what people have to live with elsewhere. Nothing
today,
like that.
Even
today. And you think about the countries where you're not permitted to leave, North Korea, China,
right?
Where they're holding you in and what their conditions are like. And
that's like Russia,
thankful,
too, right?
Thankful for our freedoms every day, and especially this week. We can exercise our freedoms, we can overeat as much as we want because we have a bountiful amount of food, and if you don't, we'll find somebody to feed you. Hey, how about that? Anyway, that's a real experience. What it's like to go behind a totalitarian regime that no longer exists for all of Germany, which is terrific. And maybe someday we can experience this for North and South Korea. That's my thankfulest moment. And I got some advice for you coming up after the break. You up for a little bit of advice? All right, some good stuff having to do with travel, because travel's on our mind in the holidays as well. This is Newsmakers, folks, your local talk in the Mid-Valley here on KYKN 1430. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Hey, Brent. Program note. Thursday and Friday here on Newsmakers. Noon o'clock. It's like I did that. Bill O'Reilly talking to President Trump for an hour.
Wow.
Go in depth.
And afterwards, if we miss it, because we're cooking turkey or whatever, would that be available on the KYKN website?
No.
Oh, so we got to listen live either Thursday or Friday.
Thursday or Friday. Noon.
Sounds good. All right. So that'll be interesting.
So we won't be here, but we'll be back on Monday.
All right. No Newsmakers, Thursday or Friday, but we get
but
to listen.
Bill O'Reilly, hour long with the president.
Wow. I'm tuning in.
Listen, Thursday or Friday.
You can stream it, folks. If you're visiting family, you can stream it on your phone or on your computer. So be sure to tune in on KYKN.com. Hey, let's cap off that story about the Eastern Bloc and my experiences there. And my friend I told you about a couple of days ago that was in Romania. I was telling Dave during the break that he actually did try to escape Romania under Ceausescu. And I mentioned just briefly that he risked his life, but he actually tried to stow away on a ship on the river. And it was a cargo ship, and he was going to stow away to take him probably into Hungary or...
just anywhere else.
And he ended up falling into the water. He was heard. Armed patrols came after him. He ended up being, he got away that night and got safely home, but was later knock on the door.
Oh, the dreaded knock.
And they came and picked him up. Oof. And he said in this era, everybody knew of, you know, somebody whose family member just disappeared.
That's not good.
So of all the things we complain about America, this is not happening. The family members just disappeared and they never knew what happened to them. They didn't know if they were in prison. They didn't know if they were executed. They didn't know if they were in prison and later killed. They just disappeared. Wow. So he was afraid he was going to be one of those. And I don't think he even knew the mechanisms that allowed him. Eventually he was released. He didn't say anything. He was with a friend. So they were both, you know, being interviewed. I think it had something to do with the status of his father being a physician. And I don't know, maybe it was a bribe in there somewhere. That's pure conjecture.
Wow.
Conjecture. But anyway, that was his experience growing up. And of all the things right and wrong with America, there's a heck of a lot more things right, people. People are living like that in fear of their government.
Yeah.
In 2019.
I'm going to go out and I'm going to kiss the ground.
Twisted and wrong. Anyway, it's a great story. And we want to thank all our veterans that served. We're in this whole month we go from veterans to Thanksgiving, which I think those things are really connected.
Totally.
I was watching a movie the other night. Actually, I went out on your advice and
you
saw
went
Midway.
To see Midway? Yeah.
I did see Midway, and you think of all those men saying, yeah, it doesn't matter if we're going to die because we're holding the line.
That's right.
It's just inspiring.
It is.
It's like, hey, there's hundreds of millions of people at home, and I stand between the Japanese Empire and them, and so I just have to do this. This is what we have to do. That courageousness and that sacrifice is why we call them the greatest generation.
The history of the United States and what some of the generations before us went through needs to be taught.
Indeed. And
it needs to be taught. You got a 13-year-old? If you do, 13 or older, take them to this movie. Mm. This is history and what people stood up for. And what America stands for. Freedom.
And the people that drive me crazy that really just don't like America much. And they look at America.
They can leave.
And they don't.
I'll escort them out.
They're ashamed of the history of legacy of slavery.
I'm sorry, but that is what formed us today. Brought us to this point.
How we treated the Indians. How we treated the Japanese in World War II. All they see is the negative. Civil rights took a long time to come to full
but
fruition.
But they corrected it.
Yeah, just that's all they see, though. And if they were more educated, not even just in American history,
yeah,
but what would it have been like?
World history.
Yeah, what the Japanese were doing during World War II in the areas that they had occupied and conquered.
Right.
And yeah, let's compare us versus what that regime was doing, or the Nazi regime in Germany.
Or the Russian guy that killed, what, 7 million Stalin. Of his... Yeah.
Stalin killed more of his own people than World War II killed.
See?
Yeah.
And that's not being taught.
All right, I'm off topic, but one last thing.
Hey, it's a good topic.
We're planning... It is a good topic. It's important. We're planning a trip.
Okay.
The missus and I. And I've done a fair bit of travel in my past, and actually... my wife and I have owned a small home-based travel agency for about 2 years, 2 or 3 years we did that.
What?
Years ago.
I learned new things about you on the radio. What the heck?
And so I know a thing or two about travel. And here's the thing about travel agents, folks. I want to encourage you, if you're making plans to travel the holidays, use a travel agent. I mean, we all book. Most of us book our air online. You know, that's fine. But if it's a cruise, if it's a tour, you need car, air, hotel, things like that. A lot of people don't realize that you don't have to pay a travel agent. They charge a fee for, you know, if they're printing your air ticket for you and doing that, there's a fee for that. Yep. So you can buy it cheaper online if you want by yourself. But we're dealing with a travel agent who has been to this foreign country that we want to go and stayed in that hotel and visited many other hotels in the city where we're visiting. And she's like, well, I like this one because of this. And this one has a good location here. And it's closer to this, but further away from that. And she knows exactly what it is. And we've never been there.
Right.
So you get that expertise for nothing. Because I can't book that hotel for cheaper than she does. She gets a commission. But I don't get a commission. I've got a discount for booking it myself. Go use a travel agent, people. So this is how it works. They book a tour. Say you're going to go to Hawaii. And you need airfare. And you need... hotel, and you need a rental car, and maybe you need some excursions, right?
Yeah.
You can book it through a travel agent.
Go to a luau, not go pay see anymore, Pearl Harbor.
Not pay anymore,
right.
and take advantage of the expertise. So we know, and you have TripAdvisor and all these other resources because that's what we want to do with our Saturday mornings, people.
If
right?
you're going to a foreign country, just like you said, the best way is with a travel agent because they can get you into the areas that you want to see and take you on excursions for a once-in-a-lifetime trip.
Yeah, advice from Brent. Keep in mind, you don't have to pay them. They get paid by the hotels and the tour operators, especially a cruise. A lot of those people have already been on that cruise ship.
Right.
And they'll tell you about the entertainment. They know which hotels, if you're going to go to Cancun, which ones are being remodeled and which ones not. They know which ones have a construction site next to it and which ones not. They know which one has a better beach. So that's my commercial for using, since we're talking about buy a local. Use a travel agent for your travels. You'll be happy you did. And if they're not full of expertise, find someone who is.
Right.
But they're out there. Maybe we'll have one on the show. Thanks for being with us with Newsmakers. This is it for me before Thanksgiving. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving full of thanks and grace. Enjoy everything. And we'll do it again on Friday.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. See you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, Brent. We'll see you on Monday.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.